Greetings, and welcome to another episode of our Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. Hi, I'm Blaine Millett, your host, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing right now, thank you for taking time to join us today. I really appreciate it. And today, I get to share something I have been waiting for a long time to bring you. The first of three episodes that you absolutely don't want to miss. We have the pleasure of meeting and hearing from a woman named Brittany Plourd, and her story is one that I know will resonate with just about everyone listening, regardless of where you are on your cancer journey. And even more importantly, these three episodes are definitely going to give you more hope, encouragement, peace, and a stronger faith, guaranteed. And here's why. You know, if you've listened to our podcasts in the past, you know that most of the people I talk with or whose story I share are about a storm they have already come through. They can look back at it and share, you know, where they were and how their journey went. They got to the other side and they're describing from the rearview mirror. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. These stories absolutely matter and are critically important to share. They tell about a journey, like we all have, of where we started, progressed, and maybe even ended someone's journey with cancer. But that's not what we're going to get to today. Brittany is not doing that. Brittany is going to share with you what it's like to be on a journey from inside the storm. She's in the middle of her long journey with cancer and is actually in treatment right now. She does not have an ending as of today, nor does she know how things are going to turn out. Nobody has handed her an ending, and she has still been gracious enough to sit down with me and share her story. And that's exactly what I wanted you to hear from all of this, directly from her, because she isn't going to tell, you know, she isn't going to tell you how easy everything is and that she finished her journey. You know, and sometimes we catch ourselves saying things like, sure, it's easy to listen to someone who got better or was healed or in remission. You can't do that with Brittany. She is sitting exactly where you may be sitting or where you were sitting not that long ago. And even though, you know, my cancer started almost 10 years ago, I find myself relating to many of the things she is talking about today. And here's one of the most powerful things you're going to hear when you listen to all three episodes. She has more peace than almost anybody I have ever talked to. Wow. It's just amazing what she is going through and what she has been through. And I can't wait for you to hear all of her story. So please take the time to listen to all three of Brittany's episodes in the right order. They will change your life and your perspective with regard to both cancer and Jesus. And here's a big reason why. The woman you're going to meet today in the first episode is not the woman you're going to meet in 2 weeks when you listen to her third episode. Not even close. And if you don't meet her here at the beginning, you won't really understand or appreciate what God has done and is doing in her life. You absolutely don't want to miss this transformation and growth that Brittany will share with us. And here's one of the biggest reasons you don't want to miss any of her episodes. In our third episode with Brittany, she is going to tell you about two nights she almost didn't tell me about. I could hear it in her voice. When we were talking, she stopped in the middle of it more than once and said, I know this sounds crazy. It is absolutely not crazy. It is the most powerful thing I believe anyone has ever shared on our podcast. And you absolutely don't want to miss this message or this episode. But here's the deal. It won't make sense to you unless you start here in the first episode that she shares with us. So because today you meet Brittany back in 2018, her first year of teaching and with a young family, and she will tell you about the news she got that all of us on this journey have gotten. And what she does with it is what nearly every one of us does with it. I know you will be able to relate. I know I certainly could. So without further delay, Brittany, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, that's great. It is wonderful to be able to talk to you live and to be able to do this. So I don't want to spend a lot of wasting time at the beginning of this. I'd like to dive right into Brittany's story. And so I'm just going to let her start and talk about where she was, because her story spans a number of different areas, and we'll talk about those as we go. But I want her to just start off at the beginning from where she was when she first got her cancer diagnosis and what was going on before that, and where that's led her, and she can share some of her God moments as and where faith was or wasn't along some of that as we go along. So Brittany, the stage is yours.
Thank you. I would say this started about 2018. So this has been a long, long journey for me with some gaps in between. But my first diagnosis was my first year as a teacher. So I imagine stress might have played some part in this. But yeah, so I found out in, gosh, I think it was May of 2018, I found out that I had some bleeding, and I went to the doctor, and then they had me go through all the scans, and then it turned out that I was diagnosed with DCIS, which is like stage zero cancer. And at the time, I was pretty devastated. I wouldn't say I was new to my faith. I started teaching at a Christian school, so I wasn't completely new. But I would also say I'm not. I was nowhere near as connected with God as I am today, and I think that plays a big part in all of this. And I think He knew that at that time there was only so much that I could sort of manage on my own, and so. So I was diagnosed with that, and again, it was my first year teaching, so I had to take time off work right at the very end. So I was home a lot for that, and I ended up choosing to do a double mastectomy, thinking I'll just do the radical treatment. I'll just nip this in the bud right away. In the middle of all of that, while I know they kind of call it like the cancer train. So while I had decided to board the train and I was moving, things were moving faster than I could even kind of keep up with them. I started looking into alternative therapies and different things and just what could I do, to sort of help and support this. I'm a planner. I like to know what's coming up next. And so I think that there's a lot of competition there between God being in charge and me being in charge. And so at that time, I felt like I needed to be in charge. Even though, like, looking back, it's so silly, but, I actually remember someone telling me or talking to me, some of my coworkers, and asking how I was doing, and I remember answering them, like, I can't be one of those happy people who is just like, God's got this, I'm just not doing great. That was my answer, which is crazy to think about that, because that's not at all where I feel today. Mm-hmm. But in that time, I think God knew, God knew that I was, like, my faith was not strong enough yet. To manage the bigger stuff. Like, so that was a kind of stepping stone. Right. Yeah. That was the beginning of it.
Okay. So when, you know, you talk about how your faith has grown from that first time, you know, take us back to that, you know, that first day when you heard that you had cancer. So when, you know, when you're sitting there, what, you know, we've all gone through that meeting, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about how you were feeling, and did you feel like, you know, God was with you, God was not there, or what, you know, how were you feeling in that first meeting?
The first time I felt pretty lost, actually, and I think I remember just sort of hearing, I kind of knew the moment that I was bleeding and I went into the doctor. I knew. So this wasn't, it was that in that moment when I, told my husband, I started crying because I was like, this can't be good. This is not a normal thing that's happening. So as we were walking, going to the next doctor, and then they sent us to the next doctor, and then we went to the next scan. There were all these signs, right? Like, okay, well, they're not answering me right away, or okay, they're looking the other direction. And they were waiting for the right person, right, to be the one that shared what was happening. And so I had plenty of time to be fearful before, take things into my own hands, try to do the research and figure it out before they ever told me. I think this was, I want to say this was before the MyChart, like scans and things came out right away. Like it wasn't like, I got all the information before I talked to the doctor. It's like, they kind of held it. And then we talked. And so I remember when we kind of finally sat down and they were going through all of the things, I kind of prepared myself to hear the worst. And I definitely thought at that time that was kind of it. Like, okay, people don't, this is like the thing that everyone says is the scariest. It's the hardest. It's the thing that you don't recover from. It's the thing that, like, when you talk about, well, at least I don't have, right? Like, at least I'm not, at least I have this. And that's how I kind of approached it at that time.
What was the gap in time between when you first heard that and when you had your surgery?
It was pretty fast. So they, I think they diagnosed it, and we went, and like within weeks, we were went to the doc, the next doctor, and then went to the surgeon, and then they were like, "Here's the plastic surgery you need to go through. Here's where you'll do the implants, and here's the person who will take these ha out." And like, it just happened really fast. I think the diagnosis and everything was in like maybe April or May, but all of this was done before June, because I remember being like, okay, school's over and now I'll
Now
recover.
I can be done and get back to work and off we go, right? So when this is always an interesting time because you said something that seems like everybody will talk about, which is, okay, I can deal with this and I'm going to go through and I'm going to take charge of it, right? And I'm going to be on top of all of it. But as we all go through it and we've all gone through, cancer, we realize, well, that's probably a pretty short-sighted view of it because we'd have no control over all of these things. So was there a point when you realized, I've just got to give all of this to God. I can't handle this, the stress, anxiety, whatever. Were there points when you got to that in this first phase?
Honestly, in the first space, not completely. I think I still had a lot of anger at that time. And I remember the first thing that gave me a sense of like, I can do this was like, I picked up a book and it was The Anti-Cancer Lifestyle. And then I had a friend that sent me a link to Chris Beat Cancer. The Anti-Cancer Lifestyle, I picked up at Costco. So I just remember being like, this is a weird place to get this, But the fact that I got it there and read that led me to the Chris Beat Cancer, and his was more biblically like connected and foundational. And so he talked about like, in the book, The Anti-Cancer, which is totally recommend, I totally recommend it. It really like breaks down all the things that you do have some help in that you can do for your own body to make it better, to make it easier to rid yourself of the cancer or to help with that sort of thing, or make it easier for God to do His work. But I picked up that book and read that like cover to cover, and then I went to the Chris Beat Cancer site and I saw that there's these seven foundational things or six foundational things. And the one of the biggest ones was in the anti-cancer, it said spiritual, and then Chris Beat Cancer, he said God, right? Like there's those two things. But it's the same if you think about like it makes an impact. It makes it, they've showed statistics of how huge an impact that having a faith of any kind, but really having a faith and trusting God and having that spiritual foundation has. And so seeing that being listed in this more secular book and then seeing it in the site, I was surprised by the overlap. And then that was something I knew I needed to sort of like lean into.
Right. So when did, you know, you mentioned the very beginning that your faith has obviously been growing, you know, dramatically. And as you look back, at the beginning, you're going, wow, I was, you know, maybe a little naive about that or whatever the right word would be. But so when you look back on that, were there turning points where you truly felt, you know, the Holy Spirit or you know, God showing up for you, where you went, wait a minute, okay, He really is here. He's with me through this. When did that kind of start to happen, or how did that happen?
Yeah, in the first diagnosis, they were much smaller moments that I think they were there, and I wasn't prepared to see them. So I think it would have happened in, you know, my family showing up and supporting me. Sort of a tangent, but sort of not a tangent. We got onto the Dave Ramsey plan a couple years before, and we had worked ourselves. It took us like a decade to get out of debt. And so we were about a year out of debt at that point, like barely, right? And so that was such a blessing. Who knew? Right. That would be such a blessing. But the fact that we weren't stressed about money for the first time in the middle of all of that, again, that's clearly God. Right. That's clearly like a path that was laid out. But I couldn't really see it at the time because of all the fear and the anxiety and, you know, not knowing. So I know that there were moments, and probably more than I can even remember. But I do recall, like, as I was starting to recover and I was spending the time moving and walking and you know, researching, and we changed our diets at that time, like I could feel as I felt better, I guess I gave God more space to be present.
Right. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good that's actually a very good statement. You know, you're giving God more space to be present, and you know, I think you know, I think that's a great way to put it, because I think we do cut him out in the sense that we're filling up every minute of the day doing stuff or worrying or we're anxious or whatever. And when do we, you know, when do we actually stop and pray and talk to him and, you know, go, hey, you know, I really need you here. Right. So, but yeah, no, I think that's really good. You know, so you're going through all of this, and by the time you got through surgery, so how were you feeling when you got through surgery? Were you feeling like, okay, I've got this a little bit more under control, you know, God's got me now, you know, I mean, so where were you after surgery? I think that's a good place.
I remember, and this is vastly different than now, again, the comparison is insane, but, I remember after surgery, at the time we had community who wanted to come by. We had people who wanted to bring us meals, and I didn't actually want anyone to come by. I had it covered on my own. My family was there. We were good. We were going to manage it. My poor husband, but, so supportive. Right. And so, so after surgery, I felt like I needed to like climb into like a cave and heal. Right. Like I just felt like I needed time on my own. Which I now realize is not as helpful, right? It's not as healthy. It's great to have others around you that can support you in any way. So I do feel like I had a little bit of a lost community sense at that time. I also was in a brand new job with new people. My daughter was in second grade, so she started school there at that time. It was just an interesting period of time. And I never thought about like, oh, I won't be able to teach. I always thought, yeah, no, we'll take care of this and we'll move on. This is just a thing. It's just a blip. It's like something I'll step over, you know, and go to the next piece. But yeah, so that's kind of, I guess that's kind of how I felt like after the surgery. Like, okay, we moved. I'm going to take the time for myself. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to eat all the healthy foods and do all the exercising and do all the things. And then we're going to move on.
Right. Okay. So if I kind of high level summaried it from, you know, as you're doing this, it sounds like this first phase you went through was, you know, God was kind of there a little bit with you and you were including that, but it wasn't a major part. You were really doing a lot of it on your own and you're managing it kind of on your own and family and everything, but you really were kind of taking control of your of your own journey and putting most of that on you through that first phase. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say I took the burden of it. I was like, it's okay, God. Like, you have a lot going on. And I've read these books. And I've got these doctors. And so I'll just manage this. And, you know, good or bad, like, I own it, which is not a great place to be, right? Because bad doesn't stay away all the time. And so, you know, I felt like the actions that I took and the things that I did were more important than the work that God was doing. Like, that just was where I was at that time.
Well, you know, I'm glad you, you know, you're very honest about that, because I think the majority of people, you know, even including me, as we go through that, we feel like we still got this, right? We're still, we can get through this. We can make this work. We don't need to, you know, rely on God for all of it, whatever it may be. So, you know, I think that's a pretty typical versus atypical scenario that we go through. So that's where Brittany starts. And before we go, I want to stay right here for just a minute, because I don't want you carrying the wrong thing out of this episode. If you listen to what Brittany had to say and you recognize yourself, if you are the one who said, I've got this, if you're the one who told everybody, you know, don't bring the meals, don't come by, I'm fine, you know, or if you've been carrying this entire thing on your own back and, you know, calling it being strong, I have to tell you, you're not alone. I know I can see myself when I was at the beginning of my own journey, feeling exactly the same way. Hunker down, deal with it myself and with my family, and just get through it. You know, I believe it's what most of us do. And of the many people I get to talk with about their cancer journey, I can honestly say it is how the majority of people feel when they first start their cancer journeys. But it's also very important for you to hear something Brittany said to me much later in the conversation. We were looking back at this exact season of her life, and I asked her a question. If God had shown up in a big way back then, would you have even recognized it? And here's what she said. She said, thankfully, it doesn't matter if I could see it at that time. Thankfully, he was still there. I hope you caught that, because it's very important for all of us to recognize. You know, let me say it again. It did not matter whether she could see him or not, because he was still there. He's always there. That's why we're never alone. And he was there in the book she had happened to pick up at Costco, of all places. He was there in the fact that she and her husband had finally gotten themselves out of debt about 1 year. Like 1 year before she needed to not be worried about money. She couldn't see any of it at the time. She says so herself. She couldn't see the progression of how Jesus was taking care of her from the very beginning, just like he does with all of us. So here's the big message I hope you all get from Brittany's message. If you cannot feel Jesus with you tonight, that's all right, because whether you do or not, he is always with you. Jesus does not require you to be able to feel him in order for him to be standing in the room with you. You are never alone, including the times where you can't feel a thing, maybe especially in those times. He is always with us. Sometimes we just have to turn our heads 90 degrees to see that He is right there beside us. Now, you know, let me tell you about the next episode we're going to hear from Brittany. 7 years have gone by, and Brittany walks into an emergency room because she has been having some headaches. Just a headache. And what comes back on that scan changes absolutely everything. You aren't going to want to miss what happens next in her journey, and I hope you'll listen to her second episode where she shares a very, very critical part of her cancer journey with us. So until then, thank you for listening today, and I hope if you get anything from Brittany's first message, it is that you are never alone. Never. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon on our next episode. Thank you for listening.